Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Isaiah K Podcast. Welcome back. Good morning. I told you guys I'm starting to like these morning episodes, these early morning episodes. Hope you guys are enjoying them. Hope you guys are going to get your morning all started right. Obviously, I think you're in the right place. I got some, this is more like breaking news. Obviously, this pod is going to be about Jim Harbaugh. I'm going to talk about Jim Harbaugh, his effect on what I, you know, on his new job, the Chargers, Michigan, and also we'll dive a little bit into Ohio State and some of the big time moves and, you know, what they've been doing in the portal and in terms of recruiting. They are just building an Avengers squad. So we'll talk about that. We'll cover all bases, literally, of Jim Harbaugh leaving and taking the leaving Michigan and taking the Chargers job. Shouts out to everyone that is listening, though. Shouts out to everyone that is listening. I see you guys' comments. There was a couple people that hit me up actually and was basically wondering, hey, when are you gonna talk about Jim Harbaugh? So shouts out to you guys. I see you guys started to follow the pod on Spotify and so forth. There's also a function where you can leave comments and, you know, I can reply to them, I can post them, whatever. But shouts out to you guys. First and foremost, I'm your humble and highly favorite host, Isaiah Kitt of the Isaiah Kitt Podcast. Shouts out to everyone that is listening. I had a comment, and this is when I knew. I was like, okay, well, people really want this. Shout out, and you leave a comment, I could probably shout you out, whatever. But shout out to Rowan underscore B329. His comment, been listening for the entire football season. Fan of the pod. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on Harbaugh. I got that a day ago. So I was like, okay, I need to drop the pod. Also, shout out to JRob480. His comment, just started following the pod. Enjoy your takes and insight. Got it. Thank you. So, there's more comments I can read, but you guys, like I said, start to use the functions on whatever streaming platform that you use. Helps with engagement. Also, shout you out. It also gives me a gauge of like what you guys want to hear, listen, and so forth. So let's get into it. Let's just get into the nitty-gritty. Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan to become the Chargers' new head coach. Lucrative 5-year deal. And this is a really good hire, right? Like, this is a really good hire for a multitude of reasons, right? And I tell you guys, not every coaching firing is the same or should be weighted the same. Well, I think that can be said for every coaching hiring as well. When I look at a team like the Falcons, who also congratulations to Raheem Morris for getting the Atlanta Falcons job, really well deserved. He's been killing it as the Rams DC, had a great year. But he got the Falcons job. Congratulations, right? And the Falcons, they needed a coach. They didn't need a culture change and a coaching change. They just needed a coach. Like, I don't think their team's culture is messed up. I think Arthur Blank is a really good owner. He got deep pockets, not afraid to spend money. They got nice players on both sides, nice pieces, running back, receiver, right? They got nice pieces on offense and defense. They just need a coach and a quarterback, right? Not necessarily a culture change or a culture shock. With jobs like the Commanders and the Chargers, they not only need new coaches and a new voice, they need a new culture. That's why, like, the Commanders, new ownership, they had to go clean house. They cleaned out everybody. They washed out everybody. And with the Chargers, they needed that as well. They needed a culture shock. They needed a culture change. So that's the first thing. Jim, he is going to build a really good culture. I think that is more evident now looking at Michigan. He built a really good culture. That's the first reason. The Chargers was in need of a culture change. Second reason, I've been talking about it for now, I would say for a good year. I've criticized Dean Spanos for going cheap, historically going cheap on coaches. The Chargers never seem to get it right at the coaching spot. And for years, I mean, even like for my existence, since I've been born, I was born in 2001. The Chargers have always had pretty good players. They've had some really good players. They've had some really good players, like high-end guys. Antonio Gates, LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers. They've had Drew Brees, right? Like, they had Vincent Jackson. They have had some really good players. Sean Merriman, Junior Seau. They've had some really good players. They just have never figured out the coaching thing. The coaching thing. And some of it is ownership, historically cheap. They don't like to pay their coaches. I'm sorry. In 2024, a good football coach, whether it's college or NFL, they make a lot of money. They rake in bank. So you're going to have to cut the check. Jim Harbaugh fits that description. He's not only a good coach, he's not only a good college football coach, he's a good college football coach and a good NFL coach. You know, he easily comes into the league as probably a top 10 coach in football, right? In the NFL. Like just based off what we know. So you couldn't afford to go cheap on the coach. First, you never get it right. And then secondly, why go cheap on the coach when you're paying your quarterback all this money? And granted, Herbert's money doesn't kick in until next year, or I should say the year following. His big money doesn't kick in right now necessarily. But you cut the checkbook for Justin Herbert because you see that he's an elite talent. That is cool. Okay, you got to pay your talented quarterback, your transcendent quarterback. Now, you got to figure out the coach thing. You got to figure out the coach thing. Your team is only as good as your coach. You got to figure out your coach thing. So the Chargers couldn't afford to go cheap on the coach. So got to give him that. Another reason why the Chargers needed to make a move like this, they were the worst combination that you could be. The Chargers were starting to become the worst combination you can be in sports, especially in a big town, in a big city like LA. They became not only just a losing team or losers, but they became easily irrelevant. They became easily irrelevant. And it's easy to be forgotten in a city like LA. Think about it. You got the Lakers, Dodgers, USC, Rams football. And I will even say this. I mean, people might snark at this and laugh, but since Steve Ballmer has taken over the Clippers, he's made them a reputable franchise. He's made them pretty relevant. Now, obviously, they haven't won a championship, which ultimately they have to do at some point with the collection of talent that they have, right? And they look really good, by the way, right? But Steve Ballmer he's built something with the Clippers. You can't deny that he's not a good owner. He's a pretty good owner, right? They're going to have a beautiful new arena. Like, he's a pretty good owner. But in this city, you absolutely cannot just be irrelevant, because you can't be bad. If you're bad, you're going to be easily forgotten. It's just so much in terms of sports, but even outside of sports, it ain't just like some little college town that just, you know, that's just rooting for the Chargers. Hell no. LA is always popping, moving, and with its sports, Lakers, usually typically pretty good. Dodgers, typically pretty good. You know, USC, when they got the right coach, typically pretty good. Rams, they're going to be pretty good for some time as long as they have Sean McVay coaching. Like, that's the culture right now, right? So they couldn't afford to not get this right or to not hire a guy like Jim Harbaugh. And I think Jim Harbaugh was honestly their top option and probably their only option, right? Now, for Jim, he can take your franchise and your franchise, your program to a whole nother level. He really can. I've seen it. Stanford, 1-11. Took him 2 years, turned Stanford around. In his first year, he had some big-time upset wins over, like, USC and Oregon. And then he gets the quarterback of Andrew Luck, right? I'm sure you guys have probably heard of him. Then he turns Stanford's around. Goes to the 49ers. The 49ers, under Mike Singletary, were so shitty. It was not even, it's not even funny. They were so bad. So bad. So bad. So bad. And they had some really good players. But the 49ers were so shitty, it wasn't even funny. And Harbaugh, they was playing, Harbaugh took over. They were playing in like a decapitated stadium. That, you know, next thing you look up, 3 NFC championship games, 4 years, and they got an end. They even made a Super Bowl appearance. They get some funding. They built Levi's Stadium. Now, it ended kind of ugly, but you get the gist. You get the gist. Turned the 49ers around. And then going back home, Michigan under Brady Hoke was an absolute dumpster fire. Michigan was not good. Michigan was far from their standard. And Brady Hoke, it's a reason why Mike Singletary never got another job after that. It's a reason why Brady Hoke will never get another job of that magnitude because he was so bad. And Harbaugh had to come into town first year, turns it around, and there were some bumps in the road throughout his tenure in Michigan. But ultimately, he got it done. And he took and he brought Michigan back to life. And I'll talk about that later. But Jim is really quirky, and he's still kind of out there. He's still kind of out there, right? He still has his ways, and, you know. But Jim, as a football coach, it doesn't get any better than this. He is one of, and I say this pretty confidently, and I don't just throw this out, these type of things out there lightly. He is easily one of the best coaches of my generation, of my lifetime. Jim Harbaugh is easily that guy. And if he's able to turn around the Chargers, like I said, they don't get it right. The Chargers just don't get it right. If he's able to turn around the Chargers, not only make them relevant, but make them a high-end playoff team. And perhaps, I don't know, maybe he joins elite company with being one of few coaches to win a national championship and a Super Bowl. This might be his most impressive job yet. Might be his most impressive job yet. Might be the most impressive thing he's done in his career. But the Chargers needed to do this. They needed that move. They needed this type of move for those reasons I just listed. And I'd say this. I think they were the best job on the market, given the fact that starting with Justin Herbert, he's an elite talent. And I think in this league, actually, Jim Harbaugh, his brother, John Harbaugh, is a prime example of what I'm about to say. John Harbaugh was on the hot seat. John Harbaugh was about to get fired. It was not going well in Baltimore. After they had won that Super Bowl and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed had left, it started to get really dim in Baltimore. In the year Lamar Jackson was drafted, John Harbaugh was on the hot seat. And it was not going that well that same year. It wasn't going that well with Flacco. Flacco will soon get pushed out of the door. In comes Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson ultimately changed the trajectory and of the franchise and of John Harbaugh's career. He absolutely changed the trajectory. Because if it didn't go well that year, John Harbaugh was going to get fired. He was going to be out of a job. And that kind of shows the importance of having a guy under center. Lamar Jackson is a guy under center. And he changed. As long as Lamar Jackson's upright on his 2 feet, John Harbaugh is going to continue to win games. And with Jim, you look at, you know, the teams on the market, the Chargers, unlike a lot of teams on the market, they have not only just a guy, they got an elite, transcendent talent at the quarterback spot that's been under coach, that's just been under prive of a lot of things since entering the league. So I think a lot of Jim, you know, I think there was some mutual interest. Obviously, the Chargers wanted him, but I think he wanted the Chargers job. It's in LA. He has elite quarterback. Like, that is first and foremost off the list, right? Like, in turn, if you're gonna be a successful coach for a long period of time, you gotta have the quarterback. You can get away with it for a year or two, but eventually it catches up. It catches up. If you're gonna be in the NFL, if you're gonna be a successful coach over a period of time, you have to get the quarterback spot right. Jim Harbaugh doesn't have to worry about that because the Chargers have that. The Chargers have that. I have faith. And granted, when I say relevancy, I know people are like, it's become like cliche. And it's become like a marketing term. It is a marketing term. But even with this type of relevancy, with Jim Harbaugh, it's tangible because the dude is a winner. I have faith that he's going to hire the right guys on the coaching staff. And, you know, like I said, I think with him, me personally, I would have loved to see him stay at Michigan. I thought he was building something really good. I know he probably, in that contract dispute, he probably didn't want to have to deal with any type of sanctions or any type of financial punishment that may have came. I don't know. Who knows, right? And then also, one could argue that being an NFL coach brings more stability than being a college football coach with the whole NIL and the portal. It is literally the wild, wild west in college sports currently. So I get it. I get it. I get why he probably didn't want to stay. Or I'm not going to say didn't want to stay, but like, it's just ever a revolving door. Literally every player on your roster, even scholarship or not, they're a free agent. They can be gotten, right? They can be gotten. I think he's super ambitious, and he's been close to winning a Super Bowl. So I think this was like the best opportunity for him. Now, like I said, me personally, I think he meant more to college football. I think he meant more to the actual sport. But Jim, I think, could fit right in. He is a disruptor. He is a guy. He is a mover of the room. He shakes up the room. You also got to look at the Chargers division. You got Andy Reid, who's currently the best coach in football. You got Patrick Mahomes, who's currently the best player in football. You got Sean Payton, who, granted, you know, had a shaky year, but the Broncos are paying him $90 million for a reason. He's a pretty good coach. These guys aren't going away. You had to do it. So, regardless, I think, you know, every single place that Harbaugh has gone to, the teams that have hired, the franchises, the programs that have hired Jim Harbaugh, they all have benefited greatly. They have all benefited greatly from Jim Harbaugh being their coach. Point blank, period. Right? And I think the second happiest person today outside of a Chargers fan has to be Ryan Day. Now, let me tell you this. Let's move on to the college, the Michigan side of it. So we got the Chargers side out of it. Talked about Harbaugh. Like I said, I think the second happiest person about this move, Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers, is Ryan Day. And I'm saying that jokingly, but also means some seriousness behind that, because now he is building a juggernaut. Before I get to Ohio State, though, Jim Harbaugh and his impact in what he's leaving college football in Michigan. Let me tell you this, guys. He's definitely left his mark. Now, I did some research on this. Didn't know this, actually. Not too many coaches win a natty and then leave the following year. I think Tim Osborne, I think he did it in 97 with Nebraska. Howard Schwellenberger, he did it at Miami after 83, win a natty. Johnny Majors of Pitt, he left after winning a natty. So I didn't know, like, the list is kind of long. It's longer than what you expect. I don't know. I just didn't expect to see that many names. I knew Schwellenberger left after he won the title at Miami. I knew Osborne left. I did not know that there were, like, names after that. Whatever. Jim Harbaugh joins that group. He's got, when things got tough at Michigan, he doubled down on what he does best. And I know a lot of people would, like, after that 2020 year, that was a rough year for Michigan. After that year, I know a lot of folks would have caved in, gave in, and would have just threw in the towel. No, he didn't. He doubled down on what he did. Now, I'm going to say this. I think he's arguably Michigan's best coach. Now, I know people are going to say, oh, Isaiah, you forgot about Bo Schembechler. How can you do that to Bo Schembechler? I live in my time. Not to say that Bo Schembechler wasn't a great coach, but Michigan literally was sinking. They were a sinking ship. They were a sinking ship. And this kind of speaks to the power of Jim Harbaugh. He made Michigan great again. And let me explain that. He made Michigan great again. Michigan, and this is kind of, I was kind of talking about this, hinting at this. And I said arguably, he can be Michigan. You can argue that he's Michigan's best coach. I'm not, no disrespect to Bo Schembechler, by the way. But I was just saying, it can be argued. Regardless, Brady Hoke gets fired at Michigan. At that point, Michigan was an absolute dumpster fire. Like, absolute dumpster fire. And he brought them back to a place, Jim Harbaugh, that being, he brought them back to a place that they haven't been in a long, long time. I am 22 years old. I was born in 2001. For instance, let's do some history right now. Where Michigan was under Brady Hoke is kind of similar to where Nebraska is right now currently. Nebraska is like this. Now, depends on who you're talking to, but this perspective on Nebraska, like if you're like 40 or older, your perspective on Nebraska is going to be a lot different than my perspective on Nebraska football as a whole. It's just going to be different. You grew up, if you're 40 or older and you listen to this pod, you grew up and you watch Nebraska be a powerhouse and win national titles and was consistently in national championship contention. That's Nebraska you grew up with. The Nebraska I grew up with, for most of my life, kind of just seems like just another team in the Big Ten. Like, they haven't done anything. I know that Nebraska was once a powerhouse. But if you just go knock, and just, I don't know, ask a 16-year-old how you feel about Nebraska football, their perspective is going to be like, oh, I mean, aren't they in the Big Ten? They probably don't even know that Nebraska was once not in the Big Ten, in the Big 12, or in the Big Ten, right? Like, in the Big 12, right? They don't know that. They don't know that, right? So perspectives is everything. Because like I said, if you're 45 or older, if you're 40 and older, you probably remember Nebraska winning national championships. I don't. I think that they have, and like I said, and since I've been living for the latter part of my years, they have been just another Big Ten team. And they have fallen from grace. And once that can be said about Michigan, Michigan was heading near, you know, that state where They were once a powerhouse, but like after the Brady Hoke stuff, it was just bad. They were bad. And Harbaugh saved them from that, and he got them back to a respectable level. Now, for Michigan, I think they should hire Sharon Moore. He's shown himself to be a guy that the kids love. They know him. And I think at this point, stability is really, really important in college football. Coaching stability is really important in college football, and it's at an all-time high importance. You have to have it, because as I said, the transfer portal, and I talk about it more once I get to Ohio State, the transfer portal is an absolute mess, and it's the wild, wild west. It is crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I know the state of Michigan has this law where a job opening has to be posted for 7 days. If I'm Michigan, I'm trying to get a waiver for that state law and hire Sharon Moore as soon as possible. Just with the state of college football, I know there are some, like Lance Lipolian from Lance Lipo from Kansas. Brian Kelly has also been a candidate, or he's been a name that's been thrown out there. I think those are good candidates, but I feel like you have to hire within. And Sharon Moore, he's like the games that he coached when he was filling in for Harbaugh, he did a pretty good job. Now, that's a lot different than being, a full-time coach all the time, because granted, Sharon Moore knew at some point that Harbaugh would be back on the sidelines and so forth. So it's a lot different when you're the top guy, the head honcho will eventually be back. And then the whole other side is, hey, you're now the top guy and you're the head guy on the sideline. When the sport is, football, offensive-minded guy, he's their OC. I think Michigan should give him the job. I don't think they should do a national search. And even if they were to do a national search, quote unquote, I think if they were to hire somebody outside of the program, I think they would probably have a good sense of idea who that somebody will be. I don't know. I don't have any insight. I'm just saying, I don't think, when we say these things like, they're going to conduct a national search. No, they're not. If Michigan does not give the job to Sharon Moore and they hire someone from the outside, they have a guy in mind in particular, and it's essentially ready made. So, that's just that. But I think they should hire Sharon Moore. And let's get to Ohio State and what they've been doing in this portal. Because, as I said, I think, speaking of Harbaugh leaving his impact, I had to do the same thing for Jim Harbaugh. For my regular listeners, my long, long time listeners, I had to do the same thing for Jim Harbaugh that I've been doing for Ryan Day over the past couple of years. And it's, a lot of people, man, you got to fire Jim Harbaugh. He can't beat Ohio State. And my reply to that, when Urban Meyer was the head coach at Ohio State, my reply to that was, oh, okay. You're mad because Jim Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State. Who else in the country is beating Ohio State? Alabama? Clemson? At that time, who else is beating them? Urban Meyer's winning 90% of his games. kind of hard, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Urban Meyer then leaves. Jim Harbaugh gets over the hump. And you know, he beats Ohio State three straight times, just like that. And now I have, you know, I did the same thing for Jim Harbaugh. I'm doing the same thing for Ryan Day. You know, I think Ryan Day is a really good coach. And after this loss versus Michigan this year, I said that I think Ryan Day is a coach. He's ever evolving. I think he is ever evolving. I think he's going to continue to evolve and ascend as a coach. I don't think this is the final version of what a Ryan Day team looks like. I told you guys that. I vividly remember, you can go back and listen to it. I said, this is not going to be the final version or the final update of what a Ryan Day team looks like. And Lord and behold, this past year, I think, was an example of that. 2 years ago, think about it. What if I told you, you know what's going to be Ohio State's, you know, Ryan Day-led team? You know what's going to be their blueprint to winning a lot of their big-time games? Defense. Two years ago, you would have laughed at me if I would have said that. But that was true this year. Like, their defense, I would say, was probably the strongest part of their team. They were a defensive-oriented team. Point in case as to why the Michigan and Ohio State game was closer than it has been in the past several years. The other 2 years, it wasn't even close. Michigan just physically dominated them off the field. This year, it looked a little different. Ohio State was able to punch back a little bit more. For all intents and purposes, I think Ohio State will be better this year. Because, boy, have they made some big moves. Ohio State, they saw Michigan win a national championship, and they got fed up. And looking at the climate of the game, looking at the climate of where college sports is, they have gone on an absolute rampage in the transfer portal. And for all intents and purposes, when you think of NIL and big spenders in NIL, Ohio State were, you know, they were, I'm going to say they were not a major player in terms of spending NIL money on players. Now they're like the apex predator of NIL spending. Like, they're top dog in NIL spending. Landing Caleb Downs was huge news. It broke, I think, last Friday. Yeah, last week, the same time, it broke. Last week on Friday, it broke that Caleb Downs was going to Ohio State. Many thought he would choose UGA. And then from that point on, Caleb Downs, obviously the number one player in the transfer portal, Ohio State landed him. From that point on, I mean, they have continued to just land guys. I mean, they landed Will Howard from Kansas State on the quarterback. Obviously, they landed Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss, their Ole Miss standout running back. And they also landed Julian Sayin, top quarterback in this past recruiting cycle. Got him from Bama. He's the top quarterback in this past cycle. So to put it in perspective and to, like, actually get you guys to understand the damage and the rampage that Ohio State has been on, they have added 7 5 stars via transfer portal and recruiting. Guess what? They've added 7 5 star guys via recruiting and transfer portal. That's more than the rest of the Big Ten combined. That's including, yes, before you even ask, that is including Oregon. That is including USC. That is including Washington. Yes. Ohio State has added more 5-star guys in the transfer portal and in recruiting than the entire Big Ten this past recruiting cycle. Yes. More than more than the rest of the Big Ten combined. More than the Big Ten. That's, like I said, Oregon has done a hell, they're doing a hell of a job recruiting. USC, Penn State, all of them combined. Yeah, Ohio State means business. And I know some of you guys are like, well, Ohio State, they've always recruited well. Not like this. Not like this. They have, yes, they've always had really talented squads. And yes, they, with Jim Harbaugh leaving and many predicting that I'm not going to say Michigan's just going to fall off a cliff, but I don't think they're going to go 15-0 victorious. No, I think Michigan now, Ohio State can regain their statue as the best team in the Big Ten, running things, right? That's where those people feel like they would belong. That's where those people, that's their spot. They feel like that's their spot. Michigan had it for a while, for a little bit, but ultimately, that's Ohio State's conference. That's how the people in Columbus feel. That's how the people in Columbus feels. And like I said, adding all of the talent, it doesn't mean anything. Granted, yes, I think they have the second highest odds, the second best odds, I should say, for winning the national championship right behind UGA. But all it guarantees is just a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure on this team. Like I said, they'd be most people's betting favorite, right? They got some of the deepest pockets in the sport, right? And I don't know if Ryan Day wanted to go all in like this. I don't know if this is his cup of tea. I'm not sure. But he has to. He has to do this. It seems very intentional. Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan. Michigan probably take a step back. Ohio State can regain the power, and not just regain it, but they can do it in a really dominating way, because they're going to have more talent than pretty much anybody else in the conference. And like I said, people are probably like, well, Isaiah, they're used to that. More times than not, any other team outside of Michigan, Ohio State has the superior players everywhere. You're correct. I think Oregon would have something to say about that. I think Oregon would be really good in the Big Ten in its first year. But this Ohio State team is really loaded. And like I said, I don't know if this is Ryan Day's forte. I don't know if this is going to become Ohio State's forte. Honestly, we have to see how it looks. We have to see how it works. I'm expecting Ohio State to be really, really good this year. Who knows? May not work. It may not get them the national title like they think. I don't know. But I told you guys, and I'm going to stick on this. I told you guys, Ryan Day can't put them in a box. And you can't say this is what a Ryan Day team looks like. Because I told you guys. I told you guys after the Michigan loss, you can't put Ryan Day in the box. I feel like he's going to evolve and continue to evolve. And I think him losing to Harbaugh and the way that they have lost over the past few years, I think it may be the best thing that has happened for Ryan Day and that Ohio State program. It may be the best thing that has happened in his tenure for him to take those type of losses, and now they're responding in this form. Like I said, Ohio State, I don't know if this is going to be their blueprint or their formula moving forward. Unlike other programs around the country, Ohio State does have the pockets. Their pockets are deep enough to be able to do this and spend at this rate continuously on a year-by-year basis. Some other programs think it's the norm. It's not the norm. I don't think it's the norm. Ohio State, this could become their new normal. It could. Me personally, I'm not a fan of how it how college football operates and the idea of how college football work and all of its facets currently. I am pro playing players, but I do think there has to be some type of control, some stipulations, because boy, it's crazy. But I am not going to knock Ohio State for doing what they did, because this is how it works. Now, the difference here is with Ohio State, as I just said, they will be able, if they want to, if this all works out for Ohio State and they win a national championship and this group actually develops some great chemistry and they win the Big Ten, they get to the playoff, they win the playoff, they win an Natty, cool. If that's the case, they'd be able to do this every year. But there are certain programs this year in particular who are circling. I think they're circling this year. And what they're doing is disproportionately gathering funds much more so than they did last cycle, or what they're going to be able to do for the next cycle. I think a program that fits that description for this year is Ole Miss. You look at what they've been able to do with the portal and their NIL spending. It seems like Lane Kiffin is going all in. Now, unlike a program like Ohio State or Texas, I don't necessarily think Mississippi, Ole Miss, can just continuously do this if it pans out to be their year. Their fan base may think otherwise, but I don't think that is going to be their, I don't think that's going to be just their method and their formula, because I don't think Ole Miss can do that. I think there's probably about a dozen programs that can just go all in every year. That list might be even a little bit too long. Maybe there's 10, maybe not 12, maybe there's 10 though. Ole Miss is not a part of that group. Now, Ole Miss will. I'm expecting Ole Miss to be really good this year because of what I said. Like I said, Ohio State, every year is a year where Ohio State can win a national championship. That's just the level that they recruit at. The players that they have year in, year out, any and every year can be a year, can be their year. Ole Miss is not the case. Programs like Ole Miss, other programs around the country that is dibbling and dabbling into the whole NIL and transfer portal thing, they think that with this attempt, with these aggressive attempts, it can become their new normal. No, it is not. I will tell you guys, it is not their new normal. And I'll also say, I don't know how soon. I don't know if it's going to be next year, this year, 5 years, 10 years, but I do think change will be made with this system, and you know, just with this whole free reign and just the wild, like, it'll be changed. I think it will be changing how things are done in college football and how we operate in college football. But until then, I am not going to bash any program. If Ole Miss want to take all the money, dump it all in for 2024 disproportionately, and go all in for a national championship, cool. I get it. Understand it. I get it. I think Ole Miss has that type of potential this year. Ohio State, I'm not going to bash them for it. It is, like I said, if it works out, it'll just be validation that they made the right decision. And who knows? It's going to become their normal, but they have never acquired talent using this amount of means. They just haven't done that. That's not their type of thing. It's kind of foreign territory for them. But we'll see if it pans out. And obviously, we know the flip side if it doesn't work. We know the flip side, right? Spending $13 million in NIL, I think that's the reported amount that Ohio State has spent. It's a lot of money for NIL. If it doesn't work out, we know the flip side, right? We know. We get it. But I'm going to end this episode off right here. You know, I did a little bit of NFL and college football mixed in with both. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Always remember, two choices, one decision. Your boy is gone. Peace, deuces. I am out. Before I let you guys go, Continue to follow, turn that notifications on for the pod so you can see when the pod is dropping. You guys can add some comments in there. Go crazy. Greatly appreciate it. And yes, peace, deuces, I'm out.